The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com. Hey everybody, I'm Rima.
And I'm Paige.
And this is Strange Indeed, a podcast dedicated to the Netflix show You.
Today we are covering season 4, episode 10, the season 4 finale, titled The Death of Jonathan Moore.
Been waiting so long to cover this episode. Just with that title alone, it had me so intrigued. I was like, holy shit, what are we walking into? I can't believe we're here at the finale.
And we did, we made it.
Been 10 episodes already. But man, what a finale, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are your general thoughts? Did you love it? Did you hate it? Somewhere in between?
I think I really liked it. As has kind of been the thread with this season, there's a few things that I'm having to pocket away and like a suspension of disbelief kind of thing and be like, but what about the, and how did the, and I'm like, you know what, if I just ignore those things and take it for the fictional story that they're telling, then it's great because there were some really good twists, some really good reveals, some interesting new starts. I don't know. I'm okay. I like it. I think it was really good.
Good. Happy to hear it. Happy to hear that it held up there at the end. I, like you, I totally get it. There's, you know, and I'm sure it'll come up as we're talking about it, you know, some points that, you know, yeah, you got to kind of let some things go in order to just continue to be entertained. You can't look too deep at some things or else it'll just totally ruin, you know, the entertainment factor. So I get it. We've talked about several of those in other episodes. But I think all in all, I was pretty pleased with how it ended and how it wrapped up, at least for this season, and how it really set up for season 5.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really have – I do have – to be fair, one of my points is going to be about kind of like, what are we hoping for in season 5, or what do we want to see? What are we hoping for, or what do we want to happen? Because it's, I'm pretty confident in saying, and I'm pretty sure they said, I don't have it in front of me, that it's going to be the final season, season 5.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's, you know, how do we want it to wrap up Joe's story? So I do have a point about that. So I think they set it up really nicely for season 5, you know, to kind of give us a place to kind of kick off. And I also think it's appropriate, you know, to end it. It's time to reach the end of Joe's story. But I was pretty pleased. They had some good stuff I didn't see coming. I know we've been, you know, kind of bouncing around the whole theory about Joe being the real killer the whole time and had a lot of fun with that. But it was fun to still have some surprises.
Absolutely.
So pretty happy with that. But I am sad that we're just here already. I'm like, damn, this is such a fun, enjoyable show. For me, that I'm just kind of bummed that it's it.
We finished it.
Yeah.
So he's like, I don't have an episode I get to go watch after we're done recording to see what happens next.
And I know.
Dang.
What do I do with my life when we wrap up these finale, when we get to like the end of the finale and it's like, damn, now what do I do? I'll do with myself. No, I'll have plenty to watch. There's plenty I'm behind on that.
Yeah,
that I can watch. But I'm actually wanting. I don't know if I'll jump on it right away, but I am actually wanting to go back and rewatch from the beginning. Go back and start with season 1. I mean, I feel like it's a pretty quick watch. You know, most of it. So, you know, I can probably go back and binge it because, especially after getting some visits from Beck and Love during the previous episodes. That I'm like, man, you know what? Those are really great and just fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, great characters. I really want to go back and revisit them. So that might be something I might do is go back and do a rewatch. Because I haven't done that in a little while. You know, I don't always get to go back and do rewatches when we pick pick up on a season. It's usually just doing like a quick recap. So,
yeah.
So yeah, pretty excited. I thought this one was pretty good. And I'm excited to talk about it. Well, with that being said, I'm going to stop talking for, and I would love to hear your first point. Where do you want to start for the finale episode?
Yeah. All right. We'll start with kind of the quickest one that I've got, but maybe one of the biggest ones is you mentioned it was nice to be surprised, even though, you know, we kind of have figured out a lot of things and talked out a lot of stuff over the season. But there was one big twist this episode that caught me off guard that I really enjoyed, and it's probably the same for you. We'll just call it the Plan B. Mm-hmm. Man, because... To go with that like football meme, they had us in the first half. I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, because seemingly confirmed at first that Marion was dead in the beginning, and she left this note behind asking to be left somewhere that she would be found so that Juliet can have closure. And Joe's going along with that, and it's really sad. Until later, we get this big reveal through Nadia that was the plan. And I did mention something about her faking something, and I didn't see it going this direction necessarily. I thought she was going to, like, and I think that was initially the plan, was she was going to have that knife and then like fake being dead. And then when he came in, or he was going to be knocked out or something anyway. So there's a couple of different like options that they had taken, but this mm-hmm. plan B was kind of like, well, if Nadia never does show up, then you take these beta blocker pills and then you just have him kind of, you put trust in Joe to leave you somewhere correctly.
Right.
And not take her to the lumberyard, like Reese had said.
No kidding.
And do her a Malcolm. but yeah, she appeals to that kinder side of Joe that's in there in order for her to be left somewhere that then Nadia could come and revive her. And then she's free, which was a really, really cool reveal.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, we get that through Nadia as she's working really hard on getting all this proof on Joe and making sure that he's caught for good, that there's no escape for him. And Eddie is worried about her, but he's helping her. And that's where she reveals that plan that her and Marianne had. And my jaw was dropped the entire time, starting with the phone. Once I realized what was going on, I was just like, bravo. That's a great twist that I didn't see coming. Yeah. Well, freaking played. So I kind of broke down this wild but actually pretty incredible plan B. So mm-hmm. yeah, Nadia and Marianne switch the painkillers for another drug, which is these beta blockers that will make Marianne appear to be dead. And then Nadia will switch Beatrice's number to hers, making Joe think that Juliet is being taken away. And then as far as the messages that were going back like a month, I guess those were real. Do phones work that way? That like if you switch the number, but like it's still the same contact name, does old messages still stay there? I don't know.
I've never tried it. So we'll just have to say for the sake of this that yes.
Yeah. I'm just going to go with that. Then Marianne puts on an Oscar worthy performance of having nothing to live for anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So that when Joe returns the next time to see her, she seems to be dead. She's left the note asking to be found overdosed somewhere. And then Nadia has to rush to follow Joe when he's moving Marianne to her resting place, which is why she bailed on Edward so fast last time. Then Nadia revives Marianne with adrenaline or some kind of stimulant. I'm not sure where did she get that, because it's definitely not the ketamine that she got from Edward. So I don't know where that came into play. Again, just let it go. Mm-hmm. Enjoy what's happening. And then, yeah, Marianne wakes up, gets revived, and gets the fuck out of there and goes back to Paris. It's quite a plan.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they pulled off, but it was actually really cool to see happen.
It was really cool. That must have been what Nadia was referring to. And she's like, I've got a plan, but it's never going to work. You know, I'm thinking, oh, that must have been it, because.
Yeah.
So many things had to go right, and there were so many things that could have went wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, is Joe going to, you know, she's counting on Joe to respect her wishes for, you know, not just having her disappear and unknown, you know, give Juliet, you know, have sympathy. Because he, yeah, Joe's a piece of shit. He's a psycho. But he did always have a soft spot for Juliet. You know, she's a kid. And he's always got a pretty soft spot for kids. So she's banking on the fact that he's going to have a soft spot, if not for Marianne, then at least for Juliet, and give her that closure so she doesn't have to always wonder what happened to her mom. So, but still a pretty big bet, considering Joe is absolutely out of his mind. And I think Marianne clearly saw that the last time that they interacted. So yeah, a lot of things that could have went wrong. What if Joe never did come back?
Yeah.
You know, so many things. So yeah, I thought that must be what they were talking about. Cause I thought, man, are we ever going to learn what that plan was? You know, when Nadia's like, I've got a plan, but it's never going to work. This must have been it. And brilliantly executed. I was quite pleased to see her live there at the end.
It was great.
I like that. Great summary there. And yeah, one of the things I didn't see coming. So it was great. Great to still have some surprises. I knew. Yeah. I didn't know what, but I knew there were some twists coming, because that's what this show.
Yeah. It's good at that.
Show never lets us down, giving us a great twist or two. So it was great to be surprised. Well, I want to start with something small, too. Not small, really, to me, but as far as like what I have to say, it's kind of small. Mm-hmm. And that's just one last shout-out to how freaking great Greg Kinnear is. I know everybody's like, oh, my God, can she please shut up about Greg Kinnear? One more time, let me talk about Greg Kinnear, at least until he's on another show that we cover in the future. I'll have to find one. And then I'll be insufferable. I'm sorry. But, wow. Just absolute great. It's just, for me, always a joy and pleasure to see Greg Kinnear in anywhere, in any role. I've loved him in everything that I've seen him in. He's so charismatic. And so when he made this appearance as this, you know, mysterious, rich Tom Lockwood in the last half of the season, it was exciting. You know, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what is he going to do, you know, against... you know, and go up against Penn Badgley's Joe. And it was so cool to see how he could still be this charismatic character, but yet also kind of smarmy. And how he could play this emotionally abusive father to Kate. I thought he did such a good job and really added, he was like a powerhouse character and actor that they brought. So it was really great. I was really excited to see what they were going to do with his character and how he would go up against Joe. And I loved the differences between Tom's character and Joe's character, where Tom is cool and collected and Joe is like impulsive and like murderous. So seeing those two go head to head and that juxtaposition between the two characters and their styles was really great and super fun to watch. So love that we got some more Greg Kinnear. Although I was very sad to see him go. Now, I guess he had to. He was bad. Mm-hmm. Not good. He was very evil. I was so disappointed. You know, when it was revealed, like, oh yeah, he just kills people and doesn't think twice about it. So it was sad to see him go, but it was fun to see the final showdown. And very characteristic of Joe to eliminate someone that is just like him.
Mm-hmm.
They had different personalities and how they handled things, but very much the same. When Kate is talking to Joe about, you know, do you know anything about stalking? And does Joe know anything about stalking? Why, yes, he does. He can tell you quite a lot. So, you know, she's accusing her father, and sounds rightly so, you know, of stalking and how he kept this file on her and how she overheard him hiring someone to follow her. And he had this file on, you know, people she'd had sex with, her menstrual cycle, and all of these things about her. And I'm thinking, that probably sounds pretty familiar to Joe.
What kind of monster would do that to... Oh, wait.
Who would violate someone in such a way? I don't know. Look in the mirror, Joe. So it was very interesting also to see Joe's reactions to all that. Because I'm like, you could literally be, instead of her talking about her father, you could literally just put Joe in his place because he's guilty of the exact same things. So, of course, it's like Joe to murder someone that's just like him because Tom was also claiming to do all of this for love, you know, his love of Kate and wanting to protect her. And that's what Joe always says. That's his rationalization for everything that he has done in the past is because he's doing it because he loves the person and he's doing it to protect them. And he thinks it's what's best for them. And that's exactly how Tom was. So getting to see that comparison and the differences as well between the two characters was really great. Love so much that it was, again, this character was played by Greg Kinnear. Sad to see him go, but it was a fun watch. So my last little shout out to Greg Kinnear.
Nice. So yeah, well that's perfect. I can transition into that. Was actually right like my that? Yeah, awesome. Like number one. It was my biggest point. Oh, but you know, okay. Since you bring it up, like sorry. I like to I have no problem reordering things because I'm like, hey, while we're on the Greg Kinnear train.
Let's
that next point. So it's just Tom Lockwood must die. and there's a lot of things that kind of built up to it. Joe wasn't expecting the news of Reese's body to be found to even be a thing. So you can tell right away he's thinking, oh shit, Lockwood set me up. And then Reese, I just call it Reese. I started using some Dexterisms and just referred to it as his dark passenger a lot. And this one too. So
I think I've seen that online. like Dexter's dark passenger. It totally fits. So why not?
But Reese is pounding this thought into his head over and over that Lockwood definitely set him up. And then that mixed with Kate being fully distraught over the hold that her father has on him and the things that you mentioned they were talking about. It makes him agree with this voice in his head that, yeah, this is one more kill that he's okay with doing before he's gone. Take out Tom Lockwood, let Kate be free. Let's see. That was supposed to be in a different one. That's why. Okay. Sorry. I have a note that was from a different point that made its way into that point. And I was like, where is that?
In there.
So I got to remember that that's there. But anyway, yeah. So he's going to set Kate free and take this out. So he's putting together his plan on how to get to Tom, which goes into her phone to get the code. And I'll be honest, I'm not an art person. So I didn't know who Rothko was. I had to be honest, so I had to look it up. So Mark Rothko, Latvian American abstract painter, very cool. And the more you know. Anyway, yeah, but Joey then uses Kate's phone. He sets up that meeting with Lockwood so he can get the jump on him, kill him. The plan works with a few bumps. He also has to kill Hugo the security guard, which, hey, someone depended on now. He just killed Lockwood and then he fled. He'll never be seen again. It's a classic Joe plan. He has to do some talking to get Tom in the right position to be incapacitated, which the whole DNA being found on Reese situation was a good reason to make up about why he was there. So
no kidding.
Again, Joe working quick, but you know, all in all, mission accomplished. I did think about a little random side note in the middle of this. I wonder if we'll see more of Cynthia next season, season 5, because the way that Tom talked about her and then how we see her in the interview with Kate and Joe at the end of the episode, keeping that on track, it makes me kind of feel like she's a very, very capable and possibly dangerous person herself. So I'm interested to see if there's more of her. Okay. but yeah, and then the other part of this is what you were talking about is the similarities between them. You know, all the manipulating, killing, scheming in order to, quote, save Catherine from herself. Yeah, Tom and Joe are way more alike than I bet Joe would ever like to admit or think about. Once Joe kills Hugo, Tom knows he's in trouble, so he's trying to buy his way out, offers to clear Joe's name, make him extraordinarily rich, yada, yada, yada. Just put the whole ordeal behind them. And yeah, Joe is too smart to buy any of that for a second. He's like, no, not giving you your phone. I don't care what you say. And then another line from Tom that really pounds home how similar they are is when he says, you know, after, you know, I did it to save her. And yeah, I did this because I bubble wrapping her life. He goes, what are you doing for her now, Joe? The same goddamn thing. And I was like, oh, that's actually pretty spot on.
Yes.
You know, Tom got his hands dirty to protect Kate, quote unquote, to protect from things that were unpleasant or harmful to her. And Joe is doing the exact same thing by killing Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then my note where I said, and Tom Lockwood is dead. Goodbye, Greg fucking Kinnear. Sorry for your loss, Rima.
Thank you. I appreciate all thoughts and thoughts of condolences. Thank you.
Yes. And then to wrap up that little story, Joe uses his Reese-faced murder and scheming skills to break Tom's ciphers, get access to his money, frames Hugo. It's a little convoluted, maybe. It was like how he figures out how to do all that, but it was all set to Radiohead, so I'm in.
You know, just put it up with a good song and you can just make the rest. Like,
just start playing Body Snatchers and I'm listening to the music. I'm like, oh, it's a good song. He did what? I don't care.
Just gonna
sure, that works.
Yep, absolutely. We buy it. Good song. Mm-hmm. It's all that's needed. Yeah. Yeah, like you said, you know, Tom took that mirror and turned it around right back at Joe.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, doing the exact same thing. And Joe just, you know, could never grasp that, you know, when he would come up against people that were just like him, you know, like Love, you know. I think he on the surface was like, oh, we're so much alike. And, you know, that's why they had so much in common and can get along. And she accepted him, but because she was like him, he couldn't stand her, you know, because I think it, you know, unconsciously reminded him so much of him, even though he always was like, I'm not like that. I only do these things because I have to, you know, and always tried to justify him and stuff. It was always everyone else that had the bad motives. Joe was always doing it for good. Or at least that's the lie he told himself. Yeah. Bye, Daddy Greg. Very nice. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about Joe and Kate. Because, and specifically, I'm wondering what kind of story he fabricated to Kate to get her to trust him. Because I really don't think that she, and I don't know, I'm kind of on the fence, and I'm probably going to argue both sides a little bit, but so I'm curious what you think and maybe what our listeners will have to say, because I think that if he really told her what he's really done, that she wouldn't really just accept him and be like, okay, you know what, yes, you've done these things, I really, and like she told him, I think that you're a really good person. Deep down, we're going to keep each other good. I just don't think if she really knew, like, okay, starting here, you know, with even with what we know from season one, that she would be okay with that and accept it.
Yeah.
So they don't
really answer that fully. Like, they make it seem like he just told her absolutely everything.
And but I yeah, just
it's that's a weird switch for Kate to just be like, oh, okay, well, that's fine because I believe you're good because you made me believe in myself. So none of that matters. Sure. Like, yeah. It's,
and I mean, she knows some things, right? Like she knows that he killed Reese because her father made him do it, according to her, or what she believes anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I mean, does that make it okay? Well, my father made you do it. My father, who was a liar, manipulator, had, you know, no, you know, qualms about murdering anyone. He made you do it. He did. He had something on you. He made you do it. So you did it. Does that mean it's like forgivable? I don't know. But so I think that she knows that much. But does, you know, when he's talked about, because it's come up before, you know, like, oh, I've done a lot of things in my past. You don't know all the things I've done. And then he says it again in this episode, you know, because of the things that I've done. I don't know if she would be able to be like, okay, you know what? I hear all of that and I still accept you and we're going to move past it. I believe that you're deep down, you're a really good person. But do you think, and I don't know where I'm leaning on this one, but do you think that Kate knows or thinks that Joe killed her dad?
I don't know.
I don't either.
I have a feeling that it's going to be a big part of season five is understanding exactly what Kate knows and that relationship and kind of, because then that could go either way. It's like, oh, she does know everything and she is actually as terrible a person as she keeps trying to tell Joe that she is. And then it's kind of like a Joe in love situation again, where they're this like team of people with no moral compass whatsoever. Or, yeah, that he is hiding a lot of things from her still. And then she's going to find out certain things. And then there's going to be an issue where, again, it's going to be the prophecy, the cycle repeating itself, where Joe said, I can't be with her because I'm going to end up killing her. And is it going to put him in a position where that's exactly where he's going to feel like he's going to have to go?
Right.
For self-preservation again. Like, so I, so maybe it's purposely really hard. You know, that it's not clear at the end of the season, because it might be a big story point of season five is figuring out those things. So I don't know.
That's true. Could be an unknown. I'm wondering if, because he used her phone to text her dad, meet me at the workshop. Did he delete the messages? Did anyone check Tom's phone records to like see what his communications are? Because even if you delete them, I mean, they're still like out there, right? Like the phone company has records of maybe not the exact message. I don't know how much they have, but they at least know that like this number at this time communicated and texted his number. So it would, you would think still tie back to her. Why didn't, you know, if, and if that's true, then why didn't anyone, or is it just because of all of the money? Is it the money and just sweep it under the rug? You know, they've got Cynthia. She seems quite the powerhouse that can manipulate internet data and buy off, you know, cops and sweep everything under the rug, you know? So maybe she does or something. I don't know, but I'm just like, well, that's like a big, like, hole there is like, well, he did that from her phone. Did she ever see that and go, well, I didn't meet my dad there.
Yeah.
Joe's the only one that could have like left that message. So, and then her father ends up dead. So, you know, it's not hard to make that add up. So I'm like, are you just okay with that? You know, it's one thing to do things in the past, but that's not quite the past. You know, that's
that's
kind of the present. So I don't know. I just I don't know how honest. I'm just curious, you know, how much does Kate know? How honest was he really with her? I mean, I know he's like, now's not the time to start off everything with lies. You know, time to be honest. And I'm like, really, Joe? When have you ever...
How honest?
How honest?
What definition of honesty are we going with?
Exactly. Joe's definition of honest, I guess. But here's the thing, and here's why I'm also curious if maybe he could have told her all of these things, or maybe she does know all of these things. Maybe she does know Joe had something to do with her dad being dead, and knowing that he had something to do with Reese and whatever else it was that he chose to. And obviously she knows enough also about, like, or at least a little bit anyway, about what happened with Love, you know, and that story, and knowing that. Because if you really didn't do anything wrong, then why do you have to cover it up? Why do you got to have someone like Cynthia to go in there and fix these things, right? Why do you have to cover it up if it was, you know, if you're really innocent? So there's obviously something to cover up. So maybe she does know all of these things, because how good is Kate really? You know, Joe keeps telling her all season, you're a good person, you're a good person, you're not your dad. You know, telling her these things over and over again. And maybe she is. But all her life, she's known about her dad and who he is.
Yeah.
And how he'd have people killed. All of the underhanded dealings that he had and how evil he was. And with everyone and including with herself. And she didn't care. You know, didn't she say in a previous episode that she could just compartmentalize everything? You know, that she can just put it all away and keep living her life? So maybe she's able to just keep doing that, and maybe she's not as good herself. I mean, that's all she knows is her dad and how he is. Joe's the exact same way. So is it really that strange to her to have Joe be who he really is? And like, she's like, well, yep, I'm okay with that because that's all I know.
Right. Like, what's the definition of good is the question. When they say, can they keep each other good? Because it seems like, you know, because this is my like next point, which I'll, if you still have more, right. definitely no, get through it.
All but, that I wanted to say was more just questions. So yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's just the new Joe and where that leaves us. Because yeah, like at that final interview when they're back in New York and, you know, they keep talking about, you know, we can do things for good. And so we're going to keep fighting. And then his head's like, and then Joe like speaks up and he's like, but all for the good, all for the good. And it's like, well, what is the definition of good? And then even Joe in his inner monologue is saying, you know, the killing is just a small part of the skills that I have. But it's not, you know, it's like he's almost always like, but I've learned to embrace that that's what I can do. And so it's like, yeah, where do they define good? Is do Kate and Joe now have this plan? It's like, oh, yeah, we can kill people as long as we can justify it as being for good somehow. Mm-hmm. You know? So, yeah, I'm not sure what all that means and where we see where that goes. So, yeah, so that next point of mine is, yeah, the new Joe, like I said, because we get – there is kind of like this rebirth because he does die in the water, at least momentarily, but he's pulled out and revived, and it is like a rebirth. The doctor tells him, happy birthday. You know, you died in the water, and you're back. So it is he reborn as something new? We see Joe at the end, so I would say no, not really, at least not in a positive way. But if anything, he is reborn as someone who accepts his darkness and embraces being a killer now.
Yeah.
Because these whole seasons, we've seen him do horrific things, but still when he's confronted with it, he goes, no, I'm not a killer. No, I'm not. It's just the situations I keep finding myself in, and I have no choice. I'm trying to protect people and myself. And so if anything, he is reborn as a killer where he goes, yeah, I'm a killer, but I can use it for good, and I can control it, and I have, you know, so he is a kind of a new Joe, but also not any better of a Joe, at least for us to look at. But maybe for him, he's being able to justify how he has changed and grown and become better.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so that's Kate is speaking with him there in the hospital room, which I guess I appreciate him making the decision to be completely honest with her. It is a change to do things differently. He tells her, yeah, I jumped. I was trying to end the person that I was, this killer. And then he pretty much just completely admits to killing Reese, all without saying it, but basically does. And she knows, and she's already had it covered up. So that's something to point toward her. He even says, you know, I guess we'll just never know. And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, I guess we'll just never know. No more, you know, like,
inclusive.
Don't say another word. What I wink, wink, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So she's capable of, she was aware of what happened even before she talked to him. And then she already had it covered up by Cynthia and all these things. So she's already kind of playing her dad's role a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I assume that she realizes that he was, because the way he says, you know, I've killed people. And if you and I was like, I think she realizes that he killed Malcolm and Simon and Gemma. And maybe she just doesn't care. Like, they were people who were holding her back. And so maybe, yeah, Kate has been telling us this whole season, I'm not a good person. I'm a bad person. The things I've done are terrible. Maybe we should have been listening to her.
Exactly. Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah. And this connection she has to Joe has given her the confidence to now take everything that her dad had, take it over. It's now hers. Well, it's now theirs. As Joe is a partner in crime, it almost seems like she's the one that's the face of the team, the company, the everything, and he's the fixer. He's the one that can get his hands dirty when it needs to be. So it does seem like they have this understanding connection. So there are things in this episode that lead me to think, yeah, Kate does know everything and she's okay with it. You know, they have that line, we keep each other good, and he seems very into that. Then he turns around and the first thing he does after leaving the hospital seemingly is kill Edward and frame him and Nadia. So I wouldn't call those things good.
Mm-hmm.
And I still don't know, did Kate help him with doing those things?
We don't know.
But we might find out. Because it seems like he might need some help. That's hard one-person job to pull off the way that he did. And then that interview at the end, which of course Joe bought a bookshop It's the little things that he's got to do.
I wonder what bookshop. Right. It has to be Mooney's, right?
It has to be, yeah.
Yeah.
And then at the end, we do get the reflection in the window. It looks like this Reese-faced dark passenger got what he wanted. He is combined with Joe now. On the inside, they are one and the same. Fully embraced who he is that Joe has, and he's convinced himself that he can be good and also be a killer. He's, you know, is he maybe on the path to believing he's only doing, to make another Taylor Swift reference in these last couple episodes, vigilante shit, right? Is that where he thinks he's going now?
Funny. We're all going to be Swifties after this.
Yeah.
I'm a moderate Swiftie already, so.
Yeah, I mean.
Fun at this point.
Yeah, I'm a low-level Swiftie.
I'm not a codebreaker Swiftie. I'm not deciphering every lyric or anything like that. I'm not.
I just listen to the albums when they come out and enjoy them.
Yeah,
pretty much is what I do.
I just enjoy them. I try to go to a concert here and there when I can, you know. Can't help it, though. My daughter grew up with, you know, that was like really her era, you know, back in the day. But anyway, so I kind of just went from there. Yeah, a lot of good Taylor Swift references in the series.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so that's just the point is, yeah, we have a new Joe, but what kind of new Joe? Where does this go? Yeah.
I love that because it goes actually into my next point as well. And I agree with everything that you said. I don't know what this means. I do think to a point it is a little bit of a new Joe. You know, I think right now he is full on evil now. You know, like there is no holding him back. And I think if you had any doubt before, what he did to Nadia in this episode, all the murders he's done. Well, okay, Joe, I'll give you a pass, but framing Nadia, that's a bridge too far, you know. But I mean, that was so evil, you know, to what he did to her, and knowing that she had her whole life ahead of her and knowing that she wasn't going to say anything, like she just quietly, and it just bugs the shit out of me to know that she just quietly accepts taking responsibility for this murder and this whole bright future. Like she was, we've given her a lot of crap, deservedly so, over the last several episodes because she's supposed to be like so smart and everything, but she made some really dumb decisions. Maybe both things can be true. I don't know, but, you know, had this bright future ahead of her. And it was cut short because of this. But I mean, what he's done, I think, to her really seals the deal of how evil he really is now. Because I don't think Joe would have done this before. Nadia, I think, was kind of representing a lot like Ellie, Paco, you know, in previous seasons where he was always protecting the kids. Now, I know Nadia, she was in college. Maybe you can kind of argue, I guess, how much of a kid she was. But compared to Joe, she was a kid.
Yeah.
And he's always protected kids. And, you know, Ellie got away, Paco got away, and he tried to protect them and do good for them. And I think he did for Nadia, too. But here, this represents how far Joe has gone, because he's not protecting Nadia. You know, he gives this, his same Joe, charismatic, you know, I don't want you to die. I want you to do great things. But at the same time, he's framing her for murder. He's not protecting the kids anymore. This is so uncharacteristic of the Joe that we know, which shows me how far gone he really is. He's really kind of terrifying right now. And I think that if we cheered for him before, I know I did. There was like, I know you're psycho, but go Joe. You know, I
mean, right.
If you cheered for him before, I don't think we can do that anymore.
He's still going to find a way in this last season to make us want to. I just know that's how the writing works.
They're going to try. They're going to try. But and what is it that's making him even worse now than what he was before? How about this limitless power and money that he now has? Like he can do anything. He's practically untouchable.
Yeah.
He's got Kate.
He's got Tom Cynthia. Lockwood.
He is basically like Tom Lockwood now. He can do anything. Mm-hmm. He can have everything, you know, covered up, brushed under the rug. All the money and all the power that he wields now through Kate, he's completely untouchable. And that makes him even more worse than what he was before. And it's really kind of scary to think about what he can do with that. And he's definitely, it's interesting because he has kind of become who he's hated all the years, it's like who he's wanted to be, but who he's kind of hated as well. You know, these rich and powerful, you know, people, he's now one of them. So it's interesting to kind of see how that role has changed, but now he's embraced his dark side. That also makes him worse because he always, and it was so, evident this season because they literally took his dark, well, we'll call him dark passenger, Reese, outside of him, that you fully get to see him and all of his thoughts, and well, just, you know, pushing him, like you said last week, the devil on his shoulder, you know, pushing him to do mm-hmm. all these bad things. Like he was an actual physical embodiment of his dark side that, you know, you're like, he's always been there, but he's always tried to keep him kind of at bay. And yeah. Now, no more. He's embraced him. Reese is there. You saw it there in the window, which was really cool. I'm like, oh, are mm-hmm. we going to get more Reese a little bit, you know, in season 5? I hope so.
That would be great. Ed Spilliers did an incredible job. So I'm all on board for having more of him in the final season.
I hope so. I hope that was a little indicator that he was going to be in season 5. I don't know if to the extent that he was before, but I do hope that we get to see more of him. Honestly, Joe and Reese had more chemistry together than Joe and Kate.
Yeah.
I was just waiting. If they hadn't made this twist of Reese not, or like being this, being really Joe, but if they had decided it to be just Reese, I would have been all on for them to have a relationship.
Right.
I was waiting for it. Like, yes, get it on. I must see this because I thought that they just had amazing chemistry. And then especially like in this episode where he's like, I love you. And he just grabs him and hugs him. And there's all this emotion. I'm like, oh, my God, we missed out on a great relationship here. Look at this. I am all the feels for these two way more than I am him and Kate. So anyway, I do hope we get more Reese. But yeah, you know, he's finally embraced his dark side. You know, he used to make excuses for why he killed people. He always rationalized it. He would sometimes spare people like Nadia or, that one dude that he let out of the cage. I always forget
Will,
his name.
Bettelheim.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Paik. I knew you'd come through, you know, but I don't think he's going to do that anymore. I don't think he's, you know, just going to let people go. His belief in his own innocence helped him convince other people that he was innocent. And I think that's mm-hmm. all gone. So I think knowing that season 5, whenever that comes back around, we know it's going to be the last season. It totally makes sense that they're going to go out big. Joe is back in New York City.
Mm-hmm. And it makes full circle.
Yes. Full circle moment. It makes sense to end it where it started. So I love that. So I just loved the season. I thought it was so great. I know it had its ups and downs, but, you know, getting to see here in season 4 how much we got to see Reese, this other side of him, how much he would push Joe to be his worst. And then seeing that, you know, he's still there lingering around to keep pushing him in that direction. And I think that Joe, instead of resisting, he's just going to go for it. So I'm excited. But yeah, I agreed with all that you said. I had titled that point R.I.P. Jonathan Moore. Because like you said, I do totally think that when he died in that water, it wasn't Joe dying. It was this version and that persona that he had created while he was in London and had escaped after season 3, this Jonathan Moore. That was the death of him for sure. So very appropriate. So I like all that you said there.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes. So doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Nice.
What's your next point?
Well, again, it's great because you just throw me in like different order, which is great. I don't mind.
I'm just going to shuffle it all around.
Yeah, because it just like flows because I literally, with the title of the episode, I have a point also titled after that with the death of Jonathan Moore. Yeah, so, which of course this the episode started, reminded me of when we were doing Midnight Club. We had the episode opening with that content warning, which was good to have. But also on that first watch made me very curious as about what I was about to see.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, what's coming? Yeah, so we pick up on Joe planning on stopping the cycle in the way that love in his dream told him to. And that is still his plan. For now, he's got a few little like loose ends to tie up, but that's his end game. But then we have that inner voice of Reese trying to talk him out of dying and constantly just barking at him, like, just embrace who you are and what you are, and let's, you know, come together. And I have the line, which emphasis on a certain word, but yeah, the line from Reese, he says, let's stop bickering and come together, integrate. You'll never have to see me again. It'll all just be you, firing on all cylinders, pure, whole, unburdened you.
Love it.
And then the next we really see them, as you mentioned a little bit, is, yeah, the scene with Joe and Reese on the bridge, which was really interesting because it was an outwardly expressed inner monologue. The two sides of the same person arguing with themselves, one wanting to feel shame for who they are, the other urging them to embrace it. A war waged, one needing to be the winner, with Joe yelling back at him, Kate's not safe. You know, I will kill her every time I try. I made it perfect. It's never enough. Because Joe is owning up to this repeated cycle that he knows who he is and what he is, and he doesn't want to put Kate through that. And he feels that continuing on with Kate will end no differently than all the others. So, you know, but Reese is telling him, no, this time is different. And I don't know, again, at the end of the episode, Joe and Kate are together, but I still think it's possible that Joe is right, and it will not end in a happy way. He may have been completely on spot right there on the bridge and should have listened. I don't, again, I'm with Gail. I'm not going to push for somebody who's mentally unstable to end their life. That's not all, you know, the correct answer there,
right.
But
agreed.
But as far as just where he's at with Kate at the end of this episode, he should have listened to himself and know it's not going to be good, but he's convinced himself that it is. And so yeah, it was a part that was very interesting this episode, and I do hope that Gail has a really great breakdown, or at least some good thoughts on it,
yeah,
if we hear
I'm
from her.
Yeah,
man, because Joe is now doing to himself what he does to all of those women before him. He's protecting parts of himself by letting the dark side do the dirty work, right? But he's tired of it. This cycle's hurting him as well, because you have those lines from Reese where he says, all I ever wanted was to make you happy. And yes, it's almost like it mirrors what he does with these other women, because then he's going, but it ends with a corpse in the trunk of my car over and over, and I can't do that again. So Joe makes that decision to kill the dark part of himself, actively manifest it into something that he has to perform an action, throwing Reese over the bridge. And to have that dark part begging and appealing to be understood and reasoned with, you know, I'm alive for you. Why can't you see me the way that I see you? I love you. It's very interesting. It was a very like,
I still don't think because I watched it last week, you know, after we wrapped and watched it again. And I still feel like I haven't quite grasped all of it yet.
The psychological aspect of all of it.
I can't wrap my brain around it yet. Maybe later. but I still feel like even after this amount of time, still haven't quite resolved or understood it fully. But yes, interesting.
Yeah. And then, yeah, Joe releases the Dark Passenger from himself. And then when that's complete, he takes the plunge for himself. And then there's a line. It's very dark, but it does make me chuckle because I have a dark sense of humor.
Same.
When he's in the water, they say everyone who jumps instantly regrets it. Turns out it's true. As because, yeah, as Joe is sinking down in the river, he's thinking of everything he had with Kate, desperately wants those things again. As he's fading away, he's mourning the life that he just gave up on. Of course, knowing the season 5 situation made this a little less intense for me.
I know.
It was a little confusing again because I was just like, well, I wonder how he's supposed to get out of this. I guess being fished out of the water at the last minute is the move. We'll go with it. He seemed pretty deep, but all right.
Just really
good. Yeah, so yeah, that was at the point where, yeah, that's the death of Jonathan Moore and the rebirth of the new Joe, whatever that is.
I don't know. I'm kind of scared. And wow, what a shock. You know, talking about the new Joe, his hair's trimmed. The beard is gone.
I miss the beard already.
I
already miss it.
I couldn't see myself because I'm watching the TV, obviously, but I know I made a face. So
like, oh no, why?
You know, not that, look, and sorry, let me just say, Penn Badgley has a very nice face. He is a very handsome man. But damn it, do I love a beard. And that really, like, as soon as I saw him season 4 opener, and I'm like, oh yeah, you know, we got the beard. Nice, you know, and yeah, it grew on me, not physically.
Yeah.
So I was very sad to see that.
It's nothing against Penn Badgley's face, but it's just like, but Penn Badgley's face with a beard, once you're used to that, and then it goes away. And you're like, well, why did you take the thing that made it even better?
Yes. Beards almost always make it better. Although he's got great bone structure, so, you know, it's fine. Like I said, he's a very handsome man, regardless. But it was just like, whoa, why the facial hair? Why did you take it out on the facial hair? And yeah,
he did nothing wrong. But it's the true victim.
I mean, I'm sure it's to a point for the show, because I feel like we're like you said earlier, full circle, right? We're back in New York. We are coming back around again. So I think it probably makes sense. And now that he's not like in hiding, he can be fully open. Jonathan Moore is gone. He can fully be Joe again, right? Yeah. Out in the world. He can put himself back out in the world anymore, or, you know, again, and he doesn't have to hide. I'm assuming that the hair, a little bit longer hair and the beard were to help disguise. Very nice, handsome disguise.
Did he throw away the hat of invisibility? Does he not need it anymore?
He doesn't need it anymore, I bet. He doesn't need to hide. He's got all the money and power to cover up what he's doing. That damn hat. I'm not kidding. It works. But yeah, quite shocking to see him back to the Joe that we've known for the first 3 seasons. But again, makes sense because it's the Joe that we started with. And so maybe that's the Joe we're going to end with, you know, in season 5, wherever it goes.
Yeah.
So yeah, quite a shocker. I know I made a face and probably an audible gasp at the same time. Yeah, I don't know. I'm interested to hear what everyone else's thoughts are. And yeah, if Gail's got some good analysis, because I cannot wrap my brain around, like you said, the psychological implications of this other half of himself, this argument that they're having, and knowing that he's essentially talking to himself and saying some of the same things that, you know, Joe has argued with. And maybe it's because, like, the you the season was Joe.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have a real you. I mean, at the beginning, we still had Marianne, but we thought she was gone. He never really looked to Kate as his you. So Joe was the you. So maybe that's where that kind of going. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I have one more point, kind of a note, and it's more, I mentioned at the top when we started a little bit about season 5 hopes that we might have or how it should end. I don't know if you had anything prepared. I only have just a couple things because honestly, I don't know. And still, like, I'm still processing this season and the finale. So I don't know if I have all my thoughts together yet. But seeing Marianne she's lived, mm-hmm. and she's back with Juliet, and she saw the story.
Yeah.
She knows Joe.
It, like, dinged on her phone. Like, does she have, like, a Google Watch for, like, Joe Goldberg or something?
Maybe just to, like, she does.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. She is kind She's of living in perpetual hiding from him. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she definitely, that was one of their, in quotes, excuses for her and Nadia not to call the police because, you know, Joe is going to get away with it and he's always going to be out there and he's always going to be after her. So, yeah, maybe she's going to.
Like the Google alerts. Yeah. For a
joke. I thought the same thing. I was like, how'd you see that? So she knows he's alive. And you could see the look on her face when she's like, second chances, you know? So we know Marianne's out there. The Quinn family is out there, you know, Love's family who's mm-hmm. left. Ellie's out there somewhere. Paco's out there somewhere. Mm-hmm. I can't remember everyone that was left, but Beck's rich friends.
That's what I was, you know? I had like a thing that I saw online that this is what I was like working on before we started recording is I had this little thing I saw together is what would be really cool. Yeah. Pull in a bunch of other people. We need the super team. We need the Avengers of you to come together. But like the people who know what Joe is capable of have either seen it for themselves, mm-hmm. been involved, been a target and survived, or at least have seen what he's capable of and can put pieces together. And so you kind of have this super team of like, these are the people that could bring him down. We have Theo. We have Paco, like you said, Elliot, the hitman from this season. Even.
Oh, yes.
Nadia, if she decides to speak up. Marianne, of course. Ellie, Dr. Nikki, Will Bettelheim, you mentioned. Sherry and Carrie Conrad have a whole TED talk about being in his cage. So, you
know. Yes. And I think that is maybe what needs to happen because I know I've said before, like, oh, Joe has to die. Joe has to die. And maybe it doesn't necessarily have to be that way, but I would love to maybe see Joe on trial with everyone coming back.
Yeah.
You know, I would love if, you know, if timing and schedules could work out, because I heard, and I didn't get to go too deep with it, but I heard Jenna Ortega was supposed to be back as Ellie in season four. Yeah. Like they, or at least they wanted her.
Yeah.
They wanted her. But hey, she kind of has been making it pretty big on her own.
Yeah, she was a little bit busy being Wednesday Addams. So
right. She was a little busy, and good for her.
Yeah,
because she's amazing and extremely talented, but it would be really great if she were available and to bring back all these folks. You know, there's a lot of people out there, and it's kind of set up perfectly, like this full circle moment. That wouldn't it be great for everyone that is alive? Because Joe doesn't know Marianne is alive. She's definitely right. A key part, I think, and could be a key player at kind of getting the ball rolling a little bit. You know, she could contact Quinn's parents or Love's parents, the Quinns, because we know that they're both alive. You know, she didn't really believe that Love was really the psycho that Joe made her out to be. Not yes, Love definitely had her issues. But, you know, she believes it was more all Joe. I've named Ellie. She's out there somewhere. I think she's pretty certain that she knew that Joe killed her sister. Beck had some friends left. There was a psychiatrist. Was it Dr. Nikki?
Dr. Nikki, yeah.
He's out there. He's in prison for Beck's murder. He knows what Joe's capable of.
Right. I mean, he knows he didn't kill Beck, so obviously.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that...
You said Theo saw what Love and Joe were working together, and of course he was thought to be dead, but then Joe dropped him off at the hospital, and he survived, so... There's Theo to think about.
Yeah.
And Will knows everything. He said he'd keep quiet, but maybe he'll show back up. Always going to see Robin Lord Taylor.
Yeah. Always great to see him. I really thought it would be funny if he was the one that Joe was reaching out to in London to get a new identity and passport.
Right. Like, got another favor for you, buddy. I know it's been a little while. Yeah.
You owe me one. But so I think now... Going into season five, you know, seeing how fully merged and, like you said, integrated, to use a word from the show that Reese used, now that he's fully integrated with his dark half and what he did to Nadia, this is just the beginning. And I think that they're telling us with what how season four ended here in the finale and what he's done and how he's merged with this dark half of himself, they're making him out to be like a full-on villain for season five. So I think whatever is, whatever they decide to do with him and his character, we're not going to feel sorry for him. Because I feel like I'm catching the vibe that everyone is, or not everyone, but I'm hearing a lot of chatter like, yeah, we don't feel bad for Joe anymore. You know, we used to root for you a little bit, Joe. You know, you were fun to root for, but now seeing what you've done, we're over that. And I think that's what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to feel. So that way, when whatever his end is, we're okay with it. So I think they're definitely going full dark side with them. So I don't know. Do you have any thoughts about season five? What you want it, what to happen, how it should end, anyone you want to see?
So that's kind of what that was. It was like, I had seen that post about this like dream team and I was like, yes, that is exactly what I want. It's just to bring back all these old faces and names that would be, cause it was great. Even just having Beck and Love appear in this season as like those like dream versions of themselves was really cool. So I was like, man, in like real life to get Paco and Ellie and Theo and Will and, you know, whoever else back in, even from like season three, as like the Conrads, and Marianne's going to have to play a big part. Maybe she's going to be, you know, seeing what's going on, she's going to go, no, he doesn't get to get away with this. And she takes it upon herself to make a mission of taking him down.
Absolutely.
So that's what I do hope that we get to pull in a lot of his old ghosts and even like the people that he was kind to, the people he showed mercy to, like Theo and Paco. Maybe that will be his undoing, is the little bit of kindness that is in there is going to kill the darkness that took over at the end.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But we'll see. I think Netflix had, they haven't given a full date yet, but I swear when I saw it earlier when I was doing a rewatch, it said season five to return in 2024. So hopefully, you know, it won't be late 2024.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll be kind of early again. They seem to do it most often around Valentine's Day. So maybe they'll kind of stick with that. It'll be great to see it and see how it wraps up. I'm excited. Until then, there's the rewatch.
Yes.
any other points?
Yeah, I had one last one.
All right.
talking about Nadia.
Oh, yeah. Her, let's do it.
Story in this episode and Edward, Eddie, calls him, because she does, Nadia decides to completely tell Edward what's going on. With the name Joe Goldberg that Marianne gave her, she's able to learn about Love Quinn and the apparent murder-suicide of Joe and herself, and that Joe is Professor Moore and he's the killer, and lets Edward in on all of that. She takes him to wherever that place was to see the cage, which on rewatch was very confusing because she's like freaking out, like, where's the cage? There was a cage here. It's like, but you already did the plan B with Marianne, so you know that she's not there. Did you just, so then I was like, what are you freaking out about? Is it just because the cage isn't there? You were trying to show Edward the empty cage and you didn't expect Joe to get rid of the cage.
Yeah. Maybe she was,
I assume that's all it was.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I was confused, too. Maybe it was just, even if Marianne was gone, the cage would be evidence of backing up what she was saying about Joe, I guess.
Yeah. So, yeah, so I guess that's what, she was looking for the cage and freaked out when it was gone. Because she's like, well, there goes the proof that I had. which I don't know how much proof a cage is. Like, he did it!
Right. this is all you need, right here.
Edward says Professor Goldberg, and that was really strange to me because now he knows his real identity, but he still has the respect to call him Professor.
Respect. Always respect.
Yeah. After Nadia tells Edward the plan B story and we get that whole reveal, and he goes, you are an actual superhero. I like that. But then she says that she still doesn't trust that it was enough, that if Joe is still out there, He's always capable of finding Marianne again, or finding out the truth of what happened and coming back for Nadia. And that's her fear. And it's a good one. Then there's this kind of jump in logic that the show is good at asking us to take for Nadia, which, again, I'm living with the fact that it's fiction and just enjoying it. Doesn't have to be impeccably realistic in every way. Just go along for the ride. But Nadia, while talking to Edward, realizes Joe's an obsessive, so he must have the trophies at his flat. So let's go back and look for the box and the trophies.
Yeah.
So she goes and she finds it, gets all the Reese proof that she needs. Then she leaves to meet with Edward, but finds Joe instead. And then Edward becomes Deadward, and she sees him. And then I was trying to piece the timeline together with the way that we see Nadia's storyline. So I'm assuming this Nadia stuff with her working with Edward and then going back to find all of this takes place after Joe has recovered and is out of the hospital. But then Joe tells her that, and the police will find a box in your bedroom and they'll find out that it was Eddie. And I was like, she just took pictures of the box in your flat. So how is they now going to find it in her bedroom? Like, is his plan to like hand her the knife, be like, you killed Edward, good job. And then he goes back and grabs the box and takes it to her house. Like, is he now going to move it? Cause it seemed like very like one after the other. So the fact that he was like, and they're going to find this box in your apartment. I'm like, are you sure? It's like, is the plan to do that afterwards? Or because there wasn't time to have done that before framing her. So it was just kind of a weird timeline thing that I was trying to piece together.
It's confusing, like, the jumps.
Yeah.
And trying to piece it all together. Yeah, I agree. We're not going to look too hard.
Yeah, because I was like, well, does he have help? And that's why I asked, is like, does Kate help with that? Do we find out? I was like, while he's talking to Nadia, is Kate already moving the box to her house somehow, like, or her apartment? Like, what is Kate in on it? I don't know.
That's a good question. Or someone Kate hired to help with that. Another pair of hands. Got a lot of money and power now.
Yeah. But yeah, so just wanted to shine a little light on Nadia and just
poor Nadia.
Again, we said it early in the season. It's like, you're getting involved. It's not going to end well for you. Just leave it alone.
I mean, she's alive, so she didn't, you know, have to pay for her involvement with her life, which is what I was afraid was going to happen. But, you know, she definitely ended up in a pretty bad situation.
Yeah. So, yeah, going to prison framed for the murder of your boyfriend is not a great way to go either, to end this chapter.
No. And that was a little bit hard because I still don't feel like I fully understood why she would just keep quiet and not speak at all in her defense at all. I don't know if it's just the threat of Joe.
Maybe out of fear for Marianne.
Maybe.
I mean, I don't know. Would the things that she has to say would have to reveal that Marianne is still alive and Joe could find that out? I don't know.
Yeah,
just thinking.
Maybe. I don't know either. I'm not sure. A lot of things you just have to kind of, okay, not going to question too hard at that and let it go. That's a good one. I only have a couple of notes left. Do you have any other points or do you have notes?
I just have one other note. Okay. I was just going to point out the anti-hero montage at the end.
Yes.
What did I say about Joe being a Swiftie? anti-hero, possibly the most perfect song choice this show and this character and this season. Which that's two seasons in a row now that we've had a Taylor Swift song in the finale episode.
They've really lucked out because I know you have to get permission for that. And I don't know because I didn't read it up on it or anything, but I'm just like, Taylor Swift's got to be a fan of the show. Right. And
yeah, I would think
totally agreeable. Like, yeah, totally. You can use the songs. I mean, season three finale was perfect because Exile is one of my favorite songs. Absolutely. Yeah. Just favorite.
And Anti-Hero, even before it was like the big like single on the radio and stuff, like when Midnights first came out, and mm-hmm. I was like, and like it's dropped and I'm listening.
Yeah.
First listen, like that first day that it came out, I was already like, favorite song on the album, Antihero. Like I had connected to it. I was like, it's a good one. So
damn good one.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
Absolutely good choice.
there's some other great ones on there, but
yeah. A lot of great ones. She's yeah, obviously where she is because she puts out a lot of great songs. So yeah, really great choice. They've done really well, and the timing works out because I mean it's still pretty new and pretty fresh, and so was Exile mm-hmm. too when it came out. So it's not like. It, you know, an old song or something where you're like, huh? It's still new, still fresh, and it definitely fits the moments, like the season 3 finale and like this one just totally fit.
Yeah, and it's playing over a little Where Are They Now montage yes! in a way, which was fun. So we get to see kind of Kate's friend group and where things go, and then some others. But yeah, so Blessing and Sophie took over Sundry House. Roald is still a rich psycho.
Shot Connie his friend is, in a yeah. mean accident. I mean that tracks when I'm like yep. I'm like, I think he's gonna shoot Joe. He might just really shoot Joe. Well, he really shot somebody.
You know? Right. Connie's still Connie.
9 days in
right. But he still meditates, seems to help. Phoebe left the glitz, glam, and fame and moved to Thailand to teach children. I love that for her. That is perfection.
So
I think it's so great
for her. Phoebe was yes. my favorite out of all of them. I'm happy she's alive and is living her best life, mm-hmm. apparently. That she has gotten away from all of her toxic friends and that lifestyle, and she's helping others mm-hmm. and found a peace and joy. And I love that for her. That made me so, yeah. I think I cried. Whenever that was revealed, I was like, oh my God, yes, thank you. Thank yeah. you for not killing her, saving her, and giving her yes. a purpose and a life. Made me very happy.
Yeah, and as much as I absolutely love the character of Phoebe, she's one that I hope we don't see again in season 5 because she just needs to be living her happy life. Just leave her alone.
Yeah, I would be okay with not seeing Phoebe again just so she can keep living her best life.
Mm-hmm. And then also, of course, to round out that little montage, Joe is feeling sad and guilty, and he's going to carry this burden of Marianne's death as Marianne is happily living back in Paris with her daughter. So that was good. But then, yeah, as we said, she sees gets her Google alert on Joe Goldberg and is not happy. and then last, of course, the big one with the new Joe I was talking about is Joe and Kate take over the Lockwood business. And again, like full circle, they're back in New York. Already missed the beard, and we'll see what happens from there. Yeah,
it wasn't just RIP Jonathan Moore, it was RIP to the beard mm-hmm. for sure. Yeah, I love that. What the hell does that mean, by the way, with Joe and Kate? Like, they're gonna save the world. What the hell? What does that mean for them? What do they mean by that? I don't,
right?
It freaks me out. I'm glad you had that. I had the happy endings as a note too. Super thrilled to see that Marianne made it. She was reunited with Juliet, that Phoebe, lived and seemed so happy, so, so happy. And that the kids had no clue who she is, right? They're just, mm-hmm. She's just their most dedicated teacher. And I love that because that's, I think, exactly what she needs. Get away from that whole persona. And who she was in London. And then, yeah, everyone else may not have had, like, the best happy endings, but they're all still alive, which is more than what mm-hmm. some of their friends could say. So I guess that's a happy ending, if you want to call it. I like that we got that little wrap-up. So it leads me to believe that, with the exception of Marianne, the friends group, anyway, that we got to know in this season's probably not going to see them again, if I have to guess.
I don't think so.
I think if you're going to give them... that kind of closure, we're probably not going to see him. I do think we'll see Marianne mm-hmm. in 5. At least I hope so. I love that. I have one other note besides that one. Did you have any other notes, or was that your last one?
That's all I got. Okay.
The only thing that I wanted to mention, and it took me this long to figure it out, and I'm mad at myself that I didn't notice this before, because I'm like, God, that makes so much perfect sense. But it took me this long to realize
that all of Joe's interactions with Reese, you know, we figured it out based on other things, right? There were other clues that kind of built this theory that mm-hmm. Reese, or that Joe isn't interacting with the real Reese, you know, that he was yeah. made up, or at least the one he was talking to was made up. And it didn't occur to me that a big clue that they gave us, and I didn't pick up on it, and I feel so dumb. When Joe's talking to other people, what do we always get? His inner monologue. His mm-hmm. narrating. Like Gemma, he barely said more than two words to her the entire season because he yeah. was constantly, it was his inner monologue with Gemma.
Yeah.
He never did that with Reese.
Oh my God, yeah, you're right.
He never had an inner monologue with Reese because he was talking to himself. That was him. That was his inner voice.
Yeah.
Ugh. I'm like, there it was the whole time. Episode one. You know, it was there. Mm. Well done. Bravo, writers.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, had no clue. That was all my notes. Had the happy ending. And the note about Mooney's bookshop, I really think it was Mooney's that he bought. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll find that out for sure in season five. So that was all the notes that I had.
We know it's got a great spot for a cage. So
there's already a murder basement at Mooney's yeah. that we're, yeah. Oh my God. We're going to see the cage in Mooney's basement again, right?
Oh, absolutely. Is it a season of You without the murder cage?
In the murder basement at Mooney's? Basement mm-hmm. of Mooney's? Oh my God. It'll be a full circle. Or do you think Joe will have upgraded now that he's got all this money and power? Is he going to have like...
There's a murder warehouse yeah. now somewhere else.
It's like, I've upgraded now. I have millions of dollars. Billions of dollars.
You can afford to put a big neon sign on the outside that says Joe's Murder House.
You can't do anything about it. Nothing to see here. Yeah. Oh my gosh, that'll be hilarious. All right. Well, I actually have just a few things that I wanted to kind of talk about as far as news now that I'm able to actually look freely. But one thing I want, this isn't, sorry, probably news, but I did want to talk about, because you made a really good point about Taylor Swift's song, Antihero. And once we got a little bit further into season five, this made more sense to me, realizing that Penn Badgley, like his first TikTok was a complete spoiler to the show. And I've mentioned his TikTok account and yeah. encouraged everyone to go check it out. But it totally had, it totally revealed the big twist. Now, we didn't know that, but it was a total spoiler because his first TikTok, you see Penn Badgley running towards a door. When he opens it, it reveals his character Joe, and they both are lip syncing to Taylor Swift's hit song Antihero. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know that it was intentional, I don't think that it was, but it ended up giving away like the biggest plot and the biggest yeah. twist I think that we've seen of You. Anyway, go check out his TikTok, it's really great. He's also got a podcast mm-hmm. that I think is really great. I know he's interviewed Victoria Pedretti, among others, so everyone should check that out. I did see an article on BuzzFeed with the showrunner, Sarah Gamble. She had a couple of things that she wanted to talk about for season four. So she starts off by saying, she said that we didn't think we could do another season where Joe continued to completely lie to himself about his shenanigans and the consequences of season three, you know, where he loses his son and the tragic death of his wife. She said we felt like Joe would at least be really trying to look himself in the eye and figure out how to break patterns. On a character level, it was that. She said we do a different kind of love story every season, but we also do a different kind of thriller every season. I went to dinner with Greg Berlanti between the seasons and I sat down and he's like, okay, I have an idea. I have this tiny little idea, a whodunit murder mystery. It was a perfect thing to be able to have another killer who was very different. But I also did not know what I was signing up for because I've never written a whodunit that was longer than a single episode. I signed the writers up for the most difficult writing experience of the whole series. She also mentioned that they hired one of the writers, someone in the writer's room, was actually British, to make the dialogue sound more authentically British.
Nice.
You know, I think we've talked about that. Like, are these some Britishisms? You know, or these aren't things that we quite say. So she mentions, she says, we had a new writer and producer this season. He was British and started his career on British television. She says, I used to joke with him, I'm about to send you a draft so you can British it. And he did. She said the actors also occasionally asked a question about a turn of phrase because they wanted to pitch an alternative. And it's always fine with me, including when they're American. She says also that it was decided that Joe would end up back in New York before work began on season four. Mm. So I thought that was interesting. She says, when Greg and I were talking about the Europe season, the Agatha Christie season, all of these things we've said to ourselves, what we should do is have him come home again at the end, reclaim his name, and go back to New York. But so different than when we first met him. So much of all the things that he watched and judged from afar in season one is now exactly who he is. So we had this ending in mind with Kate from the beginning, she says. She goes on, I feel like this is the season where the whole idea was to have Joe face himself. The you of this season is Joe. He tried hard in certain ways to look at himself and to change. But I think by the end of the season, it should be pretty clear that this show has zero interest in letting Joe off the hook. The fact that he lives to be Joe, or to be Joe another day, means that we haven't redeemed him. I think that is awesome. I'm excited. Excited to see where it goes.
Yeah.
All right. I think it's time to hear what our listeners have to say about the finale. You want to take the first one?
All right. The first one is from Melissa Cipolla. It says, wow, what a season. I didn't see the twist with Nadia coming. I'm so relieved that Marianne got away. Nadia played it smart up until the end. They should have gone to the police or have waited until they knew where Joe was before breaking into his flat. I'm not sure how I feel about Joe embracing his true self. They gave the false sense that Joe would realize what a monster he was and then do something to redeem himself. I'm not rooting for him, but I'm looking forward to seeing where this goes next season. Does Kate know that he's still killing people, or does she think he's going to become a good man? As a New Yorker, I'm happy he'll be back to his bookstore in NYC.
Yeah. Thanks, Melissa. Mm-hmm. Alma Contreras says, first off, I just got done listening to episode 9 cast and was totally tickled when y'all mentioned the code being Taylor Swift's birthday. Apparently, I'm not as big a Swiftie as I thought because I missed it. And yes, I was very excited to hear Antihero in the last episode. Thought it was a perfect song for Joe. The flash showing Marianne makes me think she is going to come after Joe in season 5. I agree with you. I like how they wrapped things up. My jaw was just dropped at every turn. Poor Nadia. Such a smart cookie, but couldn't outsmart the fox. LOL. I was really feeling bad for Joe's mental break and how he was so upset when his eyes opened to the horrible reality of how monstrous he truly is. But now being hooked up with Kate gives him immense money and power. OMG, he is going to be practically unstoppable next season. I can't wait to see how they end the series next season, and thank you to y'all for the entertaining cast. Thanks, Alma.
Thanks, Alma. And then this one comes from Dawn Elizabeth. Says, I was finally feeling sorry for Joe, but by the end, that feeling went away. The best part of this episode was that Nadia helped Marianne get away. I'm so happy about that because the last episode was so upsetting. Thinking that her daughter would think she had been abandoned due to drug use. I'd really thought that if Nadia would get through, I had really thought that Nadia would get through safely. Stupid me. I wonder if we'll see her in season 5. So, did Joe tell Kate everything? Is he now her hitman for unpleasant situations? I couldn't tell if that's what he meant at the end. Anne Reese is still with Joe. That actor did a great job, and I wouldn't mind seeing more of him. I thought Phoebe's end story was stupid and didn't care about the rest of these rich idiots. Oh, thanks, Dawn. she goes on, I hope next season has a cast of characters I like more than this one did. Thanks, Rima and Paik, for another great podcast. I look forward to whatever is next. We're all like, wasn't it such a great way that they ended? I think it's stupid. Okay. No, but that's fine, totally, Dawn. No,
totally fair. Look, I, with the exception of Phoebe, I totally agree. I was rooting for Joe to kill about half of them.
But we liked Phoebe. You're Team Phoebe.
Team Phoebe. I, yeah, she grew on me and pulled at my heartstrings. I like Joe, wanted to protect her. That was really funny. Thank you, Dawn. Let's see. We did get a couple of voice messages. Let's see what we've got first on the lineup. Looks like we've got a voice message from Steve. See what he has to say.
Hello, Strange Indeed. We have made it to the final episode of season 4 of You. It's been quite a ride. I guess Marianne really was dead. Oh, Nadia has found Joe. It'll all just be you. As in, you. This conversation between Joe and his version of Reese is just hilarious. He gives him the code. Thank you. Oh, the bodyguard has found him. Well, Joe made quick work of him. Killy's throat slash. I don't think Tom is being sincere here about what he's going to do for Joe. Maybe he is. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Wait, what is he going to... He's not going to commit suicide for real, is he? He's walking on this bridge, this unsafe footpath, and... footpath, and he's missing a toe, remember? I forgot to say anything about Kate's simply summing up Phoebe being okay. That's great. Okay, so Joe just metaphorically threw himself off the bridge, and now he's climbing up on the stanchion. What? And he just jumped, and he's in the water. Of course, he instantly regrets it, like he said. Okay, so... Joe's gone. Oh, Marianne. Okay. Now Nadia's telling the truth of what happened. Oh, so Marianne is alive. Oh, and of course he wakes up in a hospital. Okay, so he's going to confess everything to her, and she's going to do what Tom Lockwood offered to do, you think? Clear his name. But now we're back to Nadia looking for the trophies. Rolls back. Stuart. Oh, Phoebe became a teacher in Thailand. Oh. Of course, Nadia stumbles over Eddie's body. I knew that was coming. Oh, and he sees Reese's reflection in the window. Oh, so it would seem that Kate is going to be around for next season, maybe? We'll see. All right. See you next time.
Thanks, Steve. That was great.
That was great. You cracked me up again with the stir. I forgot that you did it that first time, and then you got me again. I love it.
Love it. All right. And also got a voice message from Jody. See what she has to say.
Hi, Rima and Paik. It's Jody from Canberra, Australia here with my thoughts on the You Season 4 Episode 10 season finale. Oh my gosh. I did some pterodactyl level screeching at certain points throughout this episode. I'm sure you can identify which points, so I won't really go into that. But I do have an overarching season theory about what's been going on with Joe that I want to break down for you. So the mental break Joe has had this season where he created fake Reese to deal with his evil side, it demonstrates that he's finally done too many bad things to be able to even pretend to himself that he's a good person. He's killed too many people. He's covered up too many murders. He's just too good at doing all of it to be able to convince himself that he's a really good person like he wants to be. So Joe became obsessed with real Reese before everything happened this season and before he had his mental break. It was implied that Joe and Reese shared a similar upbringing, and real Reese has managed to overcome his trauma and become successful and respected, which is everything that Joe wants. And finally, in the hospital with Kate, he finally admitted that he's not a good person, that he's done evil things. He finally faced himself. So my theory is that this season has been Joe falling in love with himself. He created fake Reese to represent his evil side, to make it in a way more palatable for himself on his road to acceptance. He admired real Reese and saw similarities between the two of them. So fake Reese was a way to try and force himself to accept who he really is in a way that he might be successful. And despite the jumping off of the bridge, it did work. As we see in the scene in New York where Joe is looking out the window, fake Reese is looking back. Joe has finally accepted who he is and moving forward is prepared to use all of the tools at his disposal, which sets up next season to be a potential bloodbath. Speaking of next season, I really want it to be the last season, and I would love to see Joe taken down now that he's essentially off his leash. I want Ellie to start a suicide squad and just take Joe to town. I would love it if it was revealed that Ellie had been following Joe's activities the entire time. She's found Matthew Engler. She's spoken to Dr. Nikki. She finds and speaks with Marion and Nadia. She goes back to talk to Ethan and Blythe and works out what happened with Beck. She finds people who knew Candace and works out what happened with her. She puts the whole thing together and finds a way to take Joe down. I would love that. Thank you so much for all the coverage of the season. It's been so enjoyable watching the show with you guys and with all of the listeners. So hope you enjoyed, and I'll see you all next season.
That was delightful.
That was awesome. Yes.
Thanks, Jody.
Thanks for listening and watching along with us. We really appreciate that. And as you've heard earlier, me saying, yes, I'm fully on board with the Suicide Squad plan. I think it is a great idea to just, everybody comes back to take him down. It's going to take an army.
I love that idea. And I love that, you know, Ellie would be the one, you know, to do it, to go doing her own investigating and talking to people and rounding people up to take him down. I love that idea. Wouldn't be mad about it at all. Thanks, Jody. All right, we got another voice message from Gail. Let's see what she has to say. You got a lot riding on this, Gail. We're really we're depending on all y'all to be providing us some insight, trying to figure out this analysis and between Reese and Joe. All right,
no pressure.
No pressure.
Hi, Rima and Paik. Well, I've debated putting together feedback for this episode all week. As a rule, I try not to give negative feedback because I'm aware that my opinion is only my opinion. Other listeners may have loved the episode, and I really don't want to throw cold water on those who are happy and satisfied with the conclusion of this season. Regrettably, I found this finale to be disjointed, nonsensical, and ultimately unsatisfactory. It's what I feared we might get once I learned that season 5 is on the way. Obviously, for that to happen, Joe needs to be alive and at least initially free, but the way they got him there was just preposterous in my opinion. So let's start with the good. Marianne gets away and is reunited with her daughter. Phoebe gets help and gets to live her own life without substances and being controlled. Both of those things are awesome. Now for the bad. The most objectionable is the whole beta blocker revival plan. That was ludicrous. Ludicrous that any sane person would participate in such a stupid plan rather than going to the police, and ludicrous in how Marianne was able to be revived outside of an ER. It was also ludicrous to have Joe succeed in killing one of the richest and most protected people on the planet. Honestly, in what reality would there not be additional security people or cameras with people watching them all over that place? Why would the master codebook be in an airplane hangar? Why did I watch this episode? It was even worse to show Kate being completely okay with Joe having murdered Reese and then her father. Sure, I'll just hook up with a serial killer because I can keep him good. Oh my god. Fellow listeners, a show of hands, how many of you would have been willing to jump into his murderer's arms? It was also ludicrous for Joe to randomly pop up in the street in front of Nadia. Is he the amazing Kreskin? How on earth would he know the precise time the Scooby Gang was going to burgle this place? Even supposing that he had live feed from his cameras, how would anybody be able to hop across town in London fast enough to cut someone's throat and plan a frame job? Speaking of the throat cutting, what the heck? Joe has not been shown to be up with murder of innocent sidekicks. Remember last season when he rescued Theo, gave him medicine, and got him to the hospital? Why would he suddenly murder this barely adult boy? Are we supposed to believe it's because he has integrated with Reese now and is super okay with killing anyone who's even a minor obstacle? So where does this leave us? Jonathan Moore dies in the water, presumably thinking about Kate, and reintegrated Joe 2.0 was born. But now he has an army of super evil lawyers, cleaners, and spin doctors to gloss over anything else despicable that he does. Presumably the point of next season will be to show Joe indulging in an unstoppable torrent of psychological torture and murder. I'm really sad that they didn't end the show with this season. They had a wonderful opportunity to do something fresh and progressive with the character, and they muffed it. Lastly, I want to quickly look at the rest of the predictions I made earlier in the season. Number one, there is more to Phoebe. Well, at least that was right. Phoebe gets help, finds her purpose, and leads a happy, caring life, teaching children. That was the highlight of the episode. And two, love is involved in this somehow. Nope, wrong on that score. But the debacle with Marianne's resurrection broke the trope that seeing a dead body equals that the person is actually dead in terms of the show. I'm still not convinced that we did see love's truly dead body. Joe certainly believes she is dead. But until the show ends, that remains a question for me, as we did not see her body being consumed in the fire. Okay, So thank you so much for putting this podcast together and giving us all a place to gather and share for the last 10 weeks. I really appreciate all you do for this podcast. Take care, Gail.
Thank you, Gail.
Yeah, thanks so much. I always appreciate your analysis and thoughts, even mm-hmm. if you did not like this episode so much. And I totally get why, because I've listened to you over these past 10 weeks is really like your mindset of stuff that I absolutely understand why a lot of these things bother you, because it's not what you were hoping for. And I get that.
Totally.
And so hopefully next season we'll bring more justice in better ways. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. Joe's got to get his comeuppance. And hopefully it'll be in a satisfactory way that most will agree mm-hmm. on. You know, you're not going to, you know, make everyone happy, but hopefully most of us will agree. So sorry you felt kind of let down there, Gail, but I totally get why. Maybe they'll do better for you next season. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, everyone, so, so much for your feedback for season 4 of You. It's such a fun show to cover. We have such a great time. With it just being absolutely absurd and obnoxious. Yeah. So we appreciate all your thoughts, trying to figure things out, break things down. We hope you return with us for season 5 when it comes back sometime in 2024. But until then, you know, next week, you know, or not next week, but next, I'll say, next, we're going to be covering season 2 of Sweet Tooth.
Yay!
Yeah.
So excited. So glad it's back.
Paige is just itching to get back to this one. You know, I realized it was 2 years since the finale aired. Has it really been 2 years?
It doesn't feel like it was that long ago, but yeah, it's been a while, because it was, I think it was one of the first things I really like covered with you over here when I joined on.
You've been stuck with me a while, Paige. And when I heard that, I was like, 2 years, Paige.
I'm trying to remember what the first thing I joined on was. It's been long enough now that I don't remember. But
I'd have to go back, because
it
feels like, you know, you've just always been here. So I can't remember that first thing. But it was one of the first things that we covered mm-hmm. together. So yeah, 2 years since the finale. I'm like, dang, they've taken their time on this one. So yeah, we're gonna come back to season 2. If you want to listen to our coverage of season 1, it is out there. It is on Netflix, and it returns on April the 27th. So that's in a couple of weeks. So we'll be, you know, on a, you know, couple weeks break there until that comes back. So yeah, come back for our coverage starting with season 2, episode 1 of Sweet Tooth. I don't have a title yet. They haven't released the title, so untitled mm-hmm. for the moment. So yeah, it'd be great to see what's been up with Gus and Big Man and all those plot lines. So
yeah,
excited for that
I'm one. Excited to get back to it.
Yeah, I know.
For sure.
We had a good time with that one. It was not what I expected, but in like a good mm-hmm. way. So yeah, I hope everyone comes back for that.
For sure. So yeah, whenever we get to that first episode, we'll let you know, because sometimes we release the first episode a little early, right after it drops, and then try to get on it. But just stay tuned and you'll see. But if you're going to be along that ride with us on Sweet Tooth, we'd love to hear your feedback and stuff. We had great feedback here for you. We'd love to keep it going with Sweet Tooth Season 2. So, of course, you can always go to podcastica.com, find out all of those ways to get your feedback to us and all our contact information.
And while you're there, be sure to check out our other shows. So many great shows being covered right now and have been covered. So mm-hmm. not any shortage of content. And of course, while you're there, you must check out Paige and Daphne at Run for Your Lives. What have y'all got going on? You just ended your latest season, right?
Yeah, our season finale. That, you know, so we'll be taking a little break after this week as well.
Nice.
So it will be up Friday this weekend. So you got one more episode coming up from us this week. It is our season finale. We always do our look back special, where we kind of go over, not really go over, but we look back at all the movies and stuff that we've covered over the season, and we do our little like awards in a way, our favorite characters, favorite monsters and threats, our favorite movies, episodes.
That's awesome.
And we're doing it a little different this year because this season fell within Oscar season. We gave it a little Oscar twist, and we haven't even announced that on Run for Your Lives. So people are getting an inner scoop listening to a different podcast.
Heard it here first.
Yeah. But yeah, so just, you know, so we're kind of got like some Oscar type categories, a little way we did it that way. So our usual top five list is now our like nominations. And then we actually had to, in real time, not knowing what each other's nominations were, come together and as a team decide which one actually gets to walk away with the award. So that was fun.
That is awesome.
Yeah. And since that comes out Friday, you do have time, if you are a listener of Run for Your Lives, to still give us some feedback to what your favorites have been over this season as well. So hopefully we'll hear from some of you.
Yeah. Go out and write in. That's awesome. Yeah.
And then while you're checking out that show, Yellow Jackets, Star Wars podcast, all the great stuff going on. Make sure if you're finding those shows that you love to give them all the love you can. Follow, subscribe, review, rate, all of the things that you can do on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and wherever you listen. We always appreciate that love. So thank you so much.
Yes, please. And thank you in advance. It really helps, you know, get the podcast to be seen when people are searching for a podcast to listen to for whatever their favorite show is at the time. Helps them be seen. You would be shocked at how hard sometimes it can be to find, you know, a podcast sometimes. if you don't have enough, you know, ratings and reviews and folks that subscribe to it. So it really helps them and all of us to be seen by others.
Yeah.
So appreciate that.
Yep. So definitely do. But all right, for now, that is our show. Thanks everyone for listening.
Until next time, I'm Rima.
And I'm Paik.
And Jason Lombardozzi is strange indeed.